Now, if I stood here this evening and said that I want to extend an invitation to you all, that tonight when you go home, you'll sell everything you own and give it to the poor and start living a radical life of discipleship of Jesus Christ, I'm assuming most of you would be sitting there saying, thanks for the invitation. But no, no, not at all. No, no, us, somebody else, not me. There are probably many other bits of the gospel that it'd be the same. You know, if we pulled out some of the bits where Jesus says, open your homes, welcome in the crippled, the lame, the broken, the poor, you'd be like, nice idea. Just wash the carpets, though. So maybe next week. It's an interesting question to wrestle with. It's a very uncomfortable question to wrestle with. Now, I have to start off saying I feel very sorry for this guy in the gospel here. You know, we can look at this account where this rich young man is doing his best. You know, he's living the good Christian, not Christian life, good Jewish life. You know, he's following the commandments. He's probably, in the eyes of everyone else, he's this good, upright person. And Jesus suddenly drops this bombshell and says, there's more. You know, if you really want to do this seriously, sell everything. Give it to the poor, come follow me. And he walks away sad. Now, for many years, I have to say, I sort of looked at this and I thought, stupid guy, made the wrong decision. Yeah. But I think over the years, I've started to have a real compassion for him because I realized, well, what Jesus is asking here is not just difficult, but probably quite unfair. Because if you actually look at the culture of what this guy's come from, he's got a whole stack of responsibilities. There's a whole cultural expectation upon him that he will be something for the family, that he will be able to provide for his parents, that he will be able to do something for the greater community. We're talking a very communal culture here where you don't do anything without your father's permission or without the permission of your family, your society around you. You know, for us, living in an extremely individualistic culture where you go and do whatever you want, I think it's hard for us to really get into this guy's shoes and understand just how hard a call this was upon him. And yet at the same time, I think we need to try and tap open something of that because we do stand in his shoes every single day. I think this is one of the really interesting things about Christianity, that Christ calls you. He is every day calling you to respond. And there are some things that you're saying yes to, and there are probably a whole lot more things that you're saying no to every single day. Yeah, every day we are this man. Every day Christ comes into our midst and is calling us into a deeper relationship, a deeper encounter. And there are certain things in our life where we have already drawn a line and said, sorry, buddy, but I'm not going beyond there. Other things that we couldn't even conceive of God seriously asking us that. You know, I think this is kind of the complexity of the calling. That we all exist within culture. You know, we all exist within a whole communal understanding of life. You know, we're generally not even conscious of that, but it's there. You know, you can drift through life just heading in one direction, never consciously thinking about the responsibilities that are there or the expectations of family or the ways that things are just done until you're challenged. You know, I remember quite a few years ago now when I first came involved with the Charismatic Renewal. You know, I'd grown up a good Sunday Catholic, always going to Mass. You know, we just did the church thing. But suddenly in this place where people were having their arms in the air, praising God, I'm like, oh, I don't quite do that. You know, we're a good kind of Scottish-Irish background. We don't do emotion really well. You know, we don't do, you know, we keep our hands in our pockets. We do that good. You know, we kind of stand there safe. That's the way we'll worship God. You know, it was one of these moments. And it's something which I wrestled with greatly at the time and really have done ever since. Because it kind of strikes against who my culture has formed me to be. You know, the culture of my family or my upbringing has kind of said, well, this is how you do God. You don't do it any other way, anything with big praise or shouting out or whatever. You know, there can be a real resistance to that. The same thing with actually choosing to really follow Christ. You know, once again, in my journey, that was a really difficult decision where I'd felt very clearly God prodding me for a long time saying, there's more. There is more to this Christianity thing. There is more to this relationship with Christ than what you've experienced. But it was so hard to step beyond what I knew because that's what I was surrounded by. Where the most radical way of responding to Christ was to go to Mass every Sunday. You know, you didn't pray any other time beyond that. You never picked up the Bible. But you know, that was the limit of my world. You know, so to be called beyond that, it's almost like asking a bird to learn how to swim. Yeah, there are some birds that know how to swim. They're the freaks of the animal kingdom. Same way there are some fish that know how to fly, but you know, they're probably the outcasts of the ocean. You know, we're constantly being called into something uncomfortable. And I think we need to really look within ourselves at what are those blockages. You know, because we can set our standard of Christianity according to what is around us. And even right now, you're doing this. You know, you may be sitting here thinking, you know, yeah, I'm a good Christian. I'm living a radical Christianity in comparison to the people around me or in comparison to the rest of my family members. You know, the culture that we're in shapes our understanding of what it is to respond to Christ. But there are many others who live in a different culture. You know, some years ago when I was working up in the Northern Territory, in one of the Aboriginal communities there, there was an Italian family who had sold their house in Italy, sold up everything they owned, to come and live as missionaries in this Aboriginal community. And in the Christian, in the Catholic community they came from, this was normal. Because they believed, well, that's the call of Christ. Christ says, leave everything, go out and proclaim the gospel. And everyone else was doing it, so they did it. You know, halfway around the world, speaking a completely foreign language. And yet for them, that was Christianity. That was a normal response to the call of Jesus. For us, we'd kind of say they're a bunch of Fruit Loops. You know, but we need to really engage with this question. Because every Sunday we come here and we hear the gospel, and yet at the same time we render it completely useless in our lives. Yeah, Jesus comes and says, love your enemies, and we say, yeah, it's a nice idea, but no. You know, he says, go out and proclaim the gospel, and we say, yeah, if there's a nice way I can do it without actually having to do it, I will. Yeah, there's always something resisting, holding us back. And then at the same time, we whinge and complain that we don't know God or that God isn't in our life. You know, we need to sort of look seriously at how are we responding to this call? It is always radical. It is always uncomfortable. And yet, is there truth in this? Is there a promise in this that we have never managed to actually encounter? You know, this first reading from the Book of Wisdom, you know, where it says, you know, speaking of wisdom or of God, you know, I esteemed her more than scepters or thrones. I held riches as nothing. I reckoned no priceless stone to be her peer, for compared with her, all gold is a pinch of sand. Beside her, silver ranks as mud. It's this glorious vision of what is being given to us. This calling, this gift of relationship with Christ. And yet, do we pray? Probably just a little bit more than everyone else. You know, if we're trying to live a radical calling, we might think, okay, 5 minutes a day. or half an hour a day. That's probably radical because most people I know don't pray at all. But what does it compare with the beauty of what's been given to us? If we actually understood the beauty of Christ, the beauty of this love, you know, we'd probably never want to leave the church or never get off our knees. You know, we'd be prepared to sacrifice sleep for this. You know, and in saying this, I'm preaching to myself first, trust me. You know, if I actually understood what it is that's been given, and yet we pull God down to being on the same level as everything else. Is it sleep or God? It's probably sleep. God or coffee? Probably coffee. You know, all these things in our life, you know, what am I prepared to actually, you know, leave behind to get hold of God? You know, John of the Cross says that when we have that wrestle within our hearts, what we're actually doing is we're pulling God down. And we're pulling God down to be smaller than his creation. You know, when we have these other things that we would much prefer, it's like we're saying, God, you're actually not as important as television. You know, you're as small as a cup of coffee. You're as small as whatever it is in our life. It's the wrong way around of doing it. We need to lift our eyes to the heavens. We need to set our sights on what is this that has been given to us. The beauty of the heart of Christ. Allow yourself to be captured by that and then let everything else be flattened by it. You let everything else in your life fall into line behind Christ rather than trying to compete with priorities as to is this more important than that. You know, to really gaze upon what we've been given and allow the Word of God to really challenge everything. Challenge the way you think. Challenge the way you make decisions. Challenge the way you see your life and the world. You know, this beautiful reading from Hebrews, you know, allow the Word of God to be like that double-edged sword that cuts so sharply. Let it cut between your life and your culture. Let it cut between the things you're attached to and the things that your heart actually yearns for. Allow the Word of God, allow the revelation of Christ to start to peel away all the false gods, all the false loves that are in our life. You know, if this is true, if all this Christianity stuff is actually real, then encounter it. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your days on this earth thinking I'll do it tomorrow, or thinking no one else is doing it, or I'm radical enough as I am because everyone already calls me a freak. Don't waste your time. If this is the beauty of Christ, then grab hold of it. Encounter it with everything in you. Allow the beauty of that to lead you on. Allow the love to capture you so much that you would be prepared to just keep walking no matter what you have to leave. That was the thing with this rich young man. That when Christ put the question to him, he looked at himself and he looked at his life and his culture around him. He didn't look at Christ. When the question was put to him, will you leave everything? His gaze first fell on his responsibilities and on people's expectations and on what people would think of him. And he'd taken his eyes off the eyes of Jesus. If he had kept looking at Christ, he would never have stopped looking. And he would have kept following the whole way. This is the call of being a disciple. Christ is calling you every day. Calling you that little bit more out of your comfort zone into that very uncomfortable place of being a disciple. Are you looking at him or are you looking at your life? As we come here to the Mass, as Christ once again places himself in front of us here in the Eucharist, gaze upon him. Gaze upon the face of Christ. Be captured by the beauty of it. look deeply into the heart of Christ and listen. Listen to how he is calling you.